You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Today, on the Word of Truth Revealed.
Your private communion will determine how publicly powerful you are. But you must speak it, exercising spiritual authority. And so, as a pastor here, just to let you know, I speak to principalities when I move. I don't come at people. I speak to the principality or the puppet master that's moving people. Because I'm exercising what? Spiritual authority. You can start exercising your authority and stop taking the blows from the enemy the way you do.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Restoration Declarations. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Joel chapter 2, verse 25.
God's divine promises are yea and amen. And when you confess the word of God or decree a thing, you activate faith. And that activation of your faith will literally shape your future. So if you want your future to be brightest, dim the light of your desire today, or your apathy today, or what you feel today, so your future would be brightest. Many of us are stuck with what we feel today and we're lit there. But you want your future to have a candle power that's greater. And if you want it to be brightest, you got to dim the light on what you feel today. Does that make sense? Yes. Write it down. That's a quote from Merton Clark, please. Write that down. If you want your future to be brightest, dim the light on you now. You're not going to hear that in the secular world. Because I'm lit. I'm lit. This is my season. But if you really want your future to be bright, take self out of the way now. So God can turn up the candle power to your future. That's why declarations are so important, because it brightens your future. Thank you, Lord. Our little grandson is with us, Isaiah, this weekend. And so I heard the wife saying to him this morning, did you put your lotion on? And he said, no, ma'am. She said, well, you got to put your lotion on, right? And so I went in the room and I said, did you shower this morning? And he said, yes, sir. I said, good. I said, and so this is how you work it. You want to make sure that you shower, you take care of skin. So you do soap first. Second thing you do is take lotion and put it on your skin. When I was coming up, Nick was putting some lotion on his leg. My daddy said, listen, I don't raise sissies. I said, it's just skin, daddy. Man, we go through stuff, don't we? We go through all kind of stuff. Skin for skin. It doesn't matter if it's male skin or if it's female skin. It all needs soap and lotion. But Nick had his leg up, man, and he was rubbing his leg with some lotion. It was earthy. It was past ashy. Y'all don't know nothing about earthy, ashy. Man, my grandmama was so primitive, she'd take Crisco. Vegetable oil, if you ain't got no lotion, listen. When wintertime came, we all took a dose of castor oil. Father John. Yes. I don't know nothing about that. You just popping pills, but you got to go back to the old remedies. When I grew up, man, and I started buying my own lotion, I went to carry. I went upgrade. I went to not the cheapest, upgrade. And I was talking to my grandson. I didn't give him all of that. But I said, you wash first. Then the next thing you do is you want to put on some lotion. Then you put on your clothes. And the wife had told him, too, you got to put your deodorant on before clothes. Right. So we just reinforced that. Right. And guess what? He was just, yes, sir. He went back, took his stuff off, and redid it. Good training, right? The point that I'm making is that when you put things in order, you brighten your future. So at 12 or 13, when he turned 19, his girlfriend or his wife, who was 20 years old, 25, won't have to tell him that. She's going to say, you take great care of your skin. Hopefully it will transcend the way he does that to his whole family. Well, she don't have to do like Pastor with me. She had to teach me, like, your skin. I was like, I don't do all that. I just go in the weather. She said, you got to take care of your skin. Between your fingers is earth shit. I don't. My daddy said, I don't raise sissies. That's what he said to Nick, so I didn't want him to say it to me. I was just saying in my mind, it's just lotion. So, check your family tree out. What was said to you in your youth that makes you act like you act now? The only remedy for that is redemption and to decree a thing to correct you. Your present state with the promise of God needs to come into alignment, and you will make your future brightest when you dim the light on what you feel now. One of the key aspects of speaking the truth of God's word is powerful. Write it down. It's activating your faith. Declaring God's word activates faith. Faith is a force. You can't see faith, but it is a force, a powerful force. And when you declare God's word, you activate, you transform the word from passive belief into the heart as acting belief. When you share the word, you shift it. It transformed from a passive belief. Yeah, I believe God. To now an active belief. You set your belief on fire. You add passion to what you believe. So at Shinar, I believe it is. In Genesis 11, as God is scattering the sons of Noah, they stop at Shinar. I think it's Shinar. Somebody check me out, Genesis 11. And they build a tower. They call it the Tower of Babel. Is it Shinar? Yes. And they build a tower to the sky. God is so amazed with these people. He said, let me come down to see what they're doing. Nothing is impossible for them because they had one language, they had one purpose, they had unity, and the fourth dimension is they had passion to get the work done. All four of those things, because we see it and God confounded their language, we don't see the principle that he's trying to get us today. And that is, if you have these four things, you can build anything. If you have unity, if you have one language, if you have passion, if you have a fire desire to finish the work, you can get it done. So here are the four: purpose, unity, effective communication, and a fire of desire to get the work done. Purpose, unity, effective communication, and a fire of desire to get the work done. So they had a reason or intent for doing it. That's purpose. Then they had unity, one language. Not somebody speaking this language, that language, confusing people, or subcontractors saying something different from the contractor. Everybody was saying the same thing with one dialect. Effective communication simply means that while one is giving instructions, the others are listening. Same thing should happen in a local church. If somebody's teaching, everybody else should be listening and giving attention to what they're saying, so when you teach, they will listen to you. And then fire to get the work done. The Bible says God came down and scattered them, and it's called the Tower of Babel because he confused their languages. And then you see from that place all different dialects. If you go to Africa, there's so many dialects. I wonder sometimes, was the Tower of Babel built in Africa? Because in Nigeria alone, there's 300 dialects. Now, do history. Go to this continent of Africa and say the dialects of a nation, like how many are there? And you will be blown away that in Nigeria, there's like 300 dialects. So how can a people really come together if they have different ways of communicating? This is a problem when we come to a local church that we're trying to get people to get to the word, but how many dialects are in the congregation? From your experience and your experience and your experience and what you feel when we all dial into the word of God, it's not the Tower of Babel that we're trying to build. We move to Pentecost. He confused their language in Genesis 11, but in Acts chapter 3, they are speaking different dialects, but it's one spirit. Oh my God. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues as of fire set on each of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. They're speaking with other tongues, but it's one Spirit that's guiding it. And the one Spirit has them speaking in other tongues, not different things. They're all saying the same thing in different tongues. Yes. Yes. So if a Spaniard were there, the Spaniard would hear, "Here, the Holy Ghost has just arrived, and I greet you in the name of Jesus. It is the Jesus that you crucified. I am here now to lead and guide you into all truth." Yeah. 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 And then a Russian would hear the same thing in his dialect. And a German would hear the same thing in his dialect. And an American wasn't even there, but an Englishman would hear words in English in his dialect, and they're all in one place. And now you see that even if we have different languages, if we're saying the same thing, we can progress the move. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In a family, everybody needs to say the same thing, just in different ways. So the young people are not going to hear me talk about Parliament or Bootsy or Bootsy Rubber Band. When they got Trey Songz and the descendants of Trey Songz. When they got Chris Brown, who's from Virginia, and Trey Songz, who's from Virginia. And Chris Brown is dancing like you've never seen before. And when he sings, "I know it's late, I know it's late. Baby, I didn't notice." You didn't think I know what Chris Brown sings? That's what he say. "I know it's late, I know it's late." That's Chris Brown, right? And millions of kids are following him. So kids, if you don't know Chris Brown and you talk about Parliament, they're not listening to you. But if you say, "I know it's late, but you need to get your lesson," you may be able to reach him. Chris Brown said, I'm flying in. I need you to get ready because I'm coming to your house. That's basically what he's saying. I'm not your boyfriend, but I'm flying in and I need you to let it go because I'm coming now. All them girls listening to it too. So you got a boyfriend, but Chris Brown is coming. Yeah. We need alignment. Your present situation needs to align with God's will. Because we are way out there with our dialects. Activate faith. Next thing it does is shapes your truth or your reality. By decreeing a thing, you shape your truth. We shape his truth, or your reality turns into his truth. Proverbs 18 really lets us know that. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Words redirect your future. Words redirect your future. I said last year I'm going to smile more. It redirected my future. I said it out loud. By saying that, I have to practice it because I kept saying it all last year. So I know I frown a lot, especially when I preach, but I'm trying to smile. I'm trying hard. I'm trying. Smiling isn't natural for me. It never has been. Just a straight face is natural for me. But I decided to speak it, and now I'm trying to put it into practice. My face gets tired. If you want to get rid of wrinkles, this is what you do when you're by yourself. And you will build your face muscles. And your wrinkles will start diminishing. You don't believe me? Try it. Do that 100 times. You're going to see your lips and everything going to get tired. You're like, oh. That means you're not exercising your face muscles. The reason why my face stays young is because I preach a lot. I'm doing this all the time. And I'm exercising my facial muscles. And if you want to keep wrinkles from coming, do the same thing. You don't have to pay for that, but you're going to thank me about 3 months from now. Smile and your face will stay young. I know it's late, but you can do it. When you confess the word, here's number 3, you exercise spiritual authority and protection over your promise. You establish a protective coat over your promise. You exercising what? Spiritual authority, and you're placing a protective coat over your promise. Spiritual authority comes with vocal practice. Vocal proclamations. Your private communion will determine how publicly powerful you are. But you must speak it. Exercising spiritual authority. And so, as a pastor here, just to let you know, I speak to principalities when I move. I don't come at people. I speak to the principality or the puppet master that's moving people. Because I'm exercising what? Spiritual authority. I preached it here a few years ago, the believer's authority. You may want to get that message or look it up so you can start exercising your authority and stop taking the blows from the enemy the way you do. Because the devil is a manipulator, M-A-N-I-P-U-L-A-T-O-R. And what he does is if you're ignorant of your rights, he'll still exercise. He'll exercise his authority over you when he's a defeated foe. The Bible says in the last days, when we see Lucifer or Satan, we're going to say, are you the one that spoiled the nations? I thought you were bigger. I thought you were broader. See, he's big to you because you don't know. Right. He's magnified to you when God is much bigger because he's the God of this world. But when you see him stripped, you're going, you're the one? You're the one that got me all messed up in my mind? You're the one that's got me twisted? You're the one that deceived me? Look at you. I let you get inside? I let you manipulate me? Oh, my God. That's what the scripture says is going to happen. So protect your promise by exercising spiritual authority. It also renews your mind when you decree a thing. This is the renewal process. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You renew it by decreeing. You got to pray. You got to fast. But you also need to study God's word. You need to fellowship. But you also need to decree a thing that it may be established. So I believe that we need to be specific. And so what I'm doing is compiling some affirmations that I've compiled to release to the people of God. It will be a word document if you would like to pick it up. But you can just start there and then you build on it. Like with our financial IQ, one of the things that we're doing, and the Nichols have really been adding to that, and that is a glossary, a word definition glossary of words concerning finance. And I think if you're 20 deep, at least 20 deep, you have a better scope on what you need to do. So if you knew what an annuity was, a savings is, a money market is, that's three. Well, first of all, when you go to talk to a banker or a financial planner, you're going to be more equipped. And now they're going to talk to you like you know something. And you should know something before you sit with someone. Actually, your doctor will be responsive to you even better if you knew a little bit about what blood pressure is, what salt or sodium means, what is your BMI, body mass index. In other words, if you what is the percentage, what should it be, and then where are you? See what I'm saying? If you knew that, what that meant, and you're not just dependent on him to tell or her to tell you everything, you did your homework, when you sit with them, you're going to have more of a productive conversation. So I want IQ to rise so you will be more equipped when you're dealing with financial planning and you won't be in the blind. When we started the church, I had no knowledge of anything concerning how I'm supposed to work with money. It was never taught. Never even discussed. And I spent a lot of time in my skin. So God just said, instead of complaining, establish a ministry that will help people not to experience what you experience. Write the vision down and make it plain. So I don't want people to be 30 years old and you don't know what time it is. You only know what a checking and a savings is. I want you to know what a money market is. I want you to know what a trust is. I want you to know what a credit score is and what it does. I want you to know what debt ratio means. So when you start knowing those things, you'll be better equipped, because my people do err not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Don't tell me God don't want you to have knowledge. Don't tell me the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. The letter of the law killeth, but God wants you to have intellect. So be specific when you're decreeing a thing. How many of you know the Bible says if you pray specifically and don't pray in a miss, you'll see your prayers answered more? Amen. That means people to just say, Lord, help me. They're not going to get God to do anything. But if you're able to say, God, do these four things. So this is how God works. God said, if you with me on a long time, you just can't groan when you're with me. Ah. That sound like a baby that can't speak. But when you pray with specifics, now he says, I'm training you and teaching you. So why would we have specifics when we pray? Because we're more scriptural. If you want the answer, you need to ask, not in a mist, you need to ask specifically. According to your promise, God, I'm asking you this. So if I went to the bank and I said to the tailor, I want a readout on what's in savings. She's going to bring me a readout on what's in savings. If I say, I just want to know what my account looked like, that's not specific. Then I'm lazy, but I want her to be specific. So how specific are we? God wants us to go to the tailor of his promises and to be able to speak specific. Your word says this, God. And I'm decreeing it. God said, my child, listen, stand in line. You were last, but now you're first. Because you're moving the way I want you to move, and it shows that you're progressing in your development. Not only should we be specific, we should be consistent. When we fish or when we try to search for leadership, we don't look for talent alone. What we look for is consistency. Do you show up once a month or do you show up consistently? That's what you need to see. People that show up once a month, every 6 months, what are we talking about? So this is not a bias. It's just, you remember, if you start a business, the people that you put in charge to supervise, you better make sure they are consistent and they're specific. If you don't do that, you're going to have hell in your leadership. Parents have to be specific and consistent. On your job, you need to be consistent and specific. Ain't no mistakes. Take my mistakes for love.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Restoration Declarations, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
GriefShare provides helpful support and guidance to navigate the emotions of loss. The next session starts Tuesday, March 3rd at 6:30 p.m. at the TR Palm Bay campus. Use the TR app, website, or scan the QR code in the foyer to sign up. For more details, email griefshare@truthrevealed.org. Wednesday, February 25th, will mark the 14th bishopric anniversary of our beloved pastor, Merton Clark. Truth Nation, show the bishop some love online at truthrevealed.org or the Truth Reveal mobile app. Cash App is also available at Truth Reveal 2. Checks should be payable to Truth Revealed, and bishopric anniversary should be indicated on the memo line.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.